I'm now going to tell you when we're going to Mars. And I think you'll be able to follow this. This is a bit complex, this graph, but it's off a... No, don't worry about it. What you see here, if I come back here a bit, we can show you. How about this? Here. There was a Russian called Nikolai Alexandrovich Kondratiev, and he plotted cycles in economic activity in commodity prices and other key economic indicators. You can see down here from 1785, 1842, 1897, 1940, right up to the current day. He did most of his work in the around about here, the 1920s, 1930s. And he actually predicted the Wall Street crash of the 1930s. He said, the West is going to go into depression. But he also predicted that the West would come out of depression towards another economic hump. So when he announced that the West was going to go into depression in the 1930s, Stalin said, very good, excellent work. The Soviet Union will not suffer the same fate. But then Kondratiev said, but they will come out of it because of my wave theory, you see. And then he was sent off to Siberia and never seen again. Now, what happens is that we've seen this economic cycle, and we're predicting that we know there was one around about 1969. This is 1969, 1970 just here. We actually think we're around about here at the moment, and we're, believe it or not, we're moving up towards another one. But I mean, this is a very simplistic idea. You know, you can imagine there are all sorts of short-term trends on these long-term ones as well. I won't dwell on Kondratiev. A lot of people study Kondratiev and believe that it's a very good indicator of macroeconomics. I've got my own theory. What I've done here, don't worry about this word modus. This is just another, it's an academic. He's a German academic that studies Kondratiev theory. I've plotted here major wars, major engineering projects, and human exploration. And I've put on this graph key events in those three areas. For instance, if we go to the early 1800s, you've got the Napoleonic Wars and Lewis and Clark going west in the States. Now, that was a peak of economic activity. I call it the Modus peak there, 1801, but it matches the Kondratiev peak. If we now go 56 years later, magic number, 56, we get to a major war in the USA, the Civil War. You get the Great Eastern Transatlantic Cable Laying Ship, a major engineering project of its time, and you get Livingstone exploring Africa. All right? And you see how they're all bunched together. Look, 56 years apart. I couldn't find a major engineering project for 1800, but if anybody's got any suggestions, that's always very welcome. Now we move on to the next period of time. There we are. Now the next Kondratiev peak, this next peak in economic activity was around about 1910, and we've got World War I, the Panama Canal, major engineering project, and of course the early polar expeditions, you know, Scott and Munson doing their major expeditions. All right? Well, Mawson as well, yes. I normally give this lecture to English audience and they've never heard of him. They do when I finish, though. And then we move on to the more recent history. So what have we got? World War II. Look, I'm not going to let some small guy in short trousers upset my theory. You're quite right. The theory is not very good in this respect, but I'm working on it. These are new results. 1969, this is the important one. 1969, 1970, we had the peak of the Apollo missions, we had the Saturn V shuttle, major engineering projects, and we had the Vietnam War. Right, now, you see what's down on the right-hand corner? The next Kondratiev peak, the peak that we're now beginning to move up to from a low, the last recession, the early 90s, I reckon it's manned expeditions to Mars. And from that graph, you can see that it's around about 2020. All right? In fact, we'll give you a specific date. How about July the 20th, 2019? The 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. That's a pretty good date for the international community to seek to land on Mars. It'll all be done for television schedules and everything else. So there we are, 2020, manned expedition to Mars. And I just used my simple economic theory to do that. Right, now I'm going to wrap up now by just reminding you that it's not just, we can't just sit around and wait for this to happen. Kondratiev cycles don't just happen. They are driven by innovations. In terms of space exploration, they're going to be driven by project champions. That's my definition of a project champion. An individual or group committed to the development of a project, prepared to champion it against all resistance. Now, we've got some examples of very good project champions in the space exploration business. You have to be 40-something to remember these, but maybe you've read about them in the history books. What about that for a bit of project championing, eh? President Kennedy, 1963. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've all seen the video clip. We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they're easy, but because they are hard. Those words galvanized a whole nation to get to the moon by 1969. And gave me my first job 3 days after I graduated. So I have to say thank you to President Kennedy. 20 years later, we weren't blessed with quite the same meeting point in history. We had President Bush. Don't laugh. What did President Bush say on the 20th of July 1989, the 20th anniversary of Apollo 11 landing on the moon? He said, "The time has come to look beyond brief encounters. We must commit ourselves to a sustained program of manned exploration of the solar system and the permanent settlement of space." And there I was, rubbing my hands, watching the evening news, saying, "Oh, it's all going to happen then." Unfortunately, the next week, he gave another speech, which is almost as famous. He said, "Read my lips, no new taxes." And one thing that space exploration needs, of course, is a lot of government money. Or a lot of taxpayers' money, I should say. But it's going to be very difficult to convince governments to spend the billions, the tens of billions, on sending manned crews to Mars. It's going to be very difficult in the current environment. It's going to be very difficult when the cost of sending a packed lunch to the International Space Station is $15,000 in launch costs. The shuttle is a very expensive launch vehicle. We don't have much else of manned rated launch vehicles. We need to reduce the cost of putting man into space by orders of magnitude. We certainly can't afford to pay $15,000 delivery fee for lunch. So there was a project champion succeeded and a project champion failed. And I just want to now finish up on a slightly lighter note with another project champion. At the same time as George Bush, we were blessed with the second most powerful man on Earth, Dan Quayle. Now, it usually happens that vice presidents in the US are essentially in charge of the space program. You know, they're the ones who direct NASA. And I just want to leave you really with some quotes from Dan Quayle, which I'm sure you would like to compare with President Kennedy's very effective project championing of the first man on the moon. "Mars is essentially in the same orbit. Mars is somewhat the same distance from the sun, which is very important. We've seen pictures where there are canals, we believe, and water. And if there's water, that means there is oxygen. And if oxygen, that means we can breathe." Dan Quayle, 11th of August, 1989. "I have made good judgments in the past. I have made good judgments in the future." "My fellow Americans, the future will be better tomorrow." Don't forget, this is the second most powerful man on Earth, in charge of NASA's space program. By far the biggest space program on planet Earth. We're going to have the best educated American people in the world. Don't forget, what we need is effective project champions. And here is Dan Quayle at his best, project championing the space cause. We don't want to go back to tomorrow. We want to go forward. Now, I mean, I'm sure everybody knows what the current problems are with President Clinton, but what worries me, of course, is that his second in charge, the vice president, will end up in the White House, and we won't even have a vice president for the next couple of years, because I think if that happens, there isn't one appointed, is there? So it may well be that NASA will not have any real political direction for the next couple of years until there's another election. So there we are. Project champions succeeded. Project champions failed. I've predicted when mankind will land on Mars, and I would invite any schoolgirls about to leave school to seriously think about being on the first mission. You're not too old if you're just leaving university, but you know.